Welcome to episode 142 of this particular podcast, Bat and Spider, with your hosts, Chuck and Dale. And if it sounds like I'm a little weirded out tonight, if it sounds like I'm whispering a little bit, it's because my dog Ziggy was whining at the door.
Ziggy.
So I had to let him in, and now Ziggy's dead asleep, but now my door is still cracked open, so I feel like subconscious. I feel self-conscious, like...
Like the whole house is listening to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as soon as my wife hears me record anything, she's going to be like, what were you talking about up there? Yeah. Why are you being such a goofball?
Yeah.
My life.
So Dale, listen to this.
God, my life.
Do patron contracture, right? Do patron contracture.
Yeah, that's...
That is what I found out. That's the knot I have in my knuckle. I don't know what knuckle this is, but like on the palm side of my left hand. And it's been there like, I don't know, maybe a year. And I finally had a checkup and I was like, hey, doc.
Yeah.
What is this guy? What's this guy here? He knew right away. That's what you go to doctors for, Dale. You didn't have to go Googling. You know, right. He went to cram school for 12 years and it's right there.
Cram school.
I should have asked him if I was the first one he saw, you know, that would have been interesting if he like had to go back, like how fast did that synapse fire to like go back to whatever year of medical school he learned about. Do patron contractures. And anyway, Dale, this thing is with me forever.
Oh, geez. Well, maybe no second opinion there, huh?
Yeah. I mean, the internet says there's nothing to do, but my doctor did say like, if it gets really bad, they can like do steroid shots and stuff, but it's something with
problem.
My tendon, you know, there's a sheath over the tendon and something about my tendon is too thick in there. So there's some buildup of, I don't know if it's fluid and then it gets all hard. And what's weird is though, it's usually these two, like the pinky knuckle and the index knuckle. And it usually happens on both hands, which is not happening to me. And then it shot into my head when I got home I was like, oh, I know who has this. I know there's a famous actor who has this because I've read about this condition before. This is not the first time I knew about this.
You're insane. Okay.
Britain's own Bill Nighy. Grant. Do you know Bill Nighy?
I certainly do. Great actor.
He suffers from this. And if you notice, his pinky and his index fingers are always tucked into his palms because he cannot.
They are?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just Google Bill Nighy's hands and you'll see pictures of it. And
So you're saying Google the phrase Bill Nighy's hands.
Yeah.
Everyone out there.
Yes.
Okay.
Like I just did. And you will see he cannot. And that's when it gets really bad. So like there might be a time where my finger gets stuck down towards the palm. My doctor said I can just manually pull it back up when it gets stuck. But I think he has a severe case because his fingers are always down.
I just puked. I just puked my guts up. Googling image search. I think he's up for an Oscar this year. This poor bastard.
Well, he's suffered. Yeah. He deserves it. Deserves that gold, man. Having to live his life with his fingies stuck? Man.
Hey.
It's probably a nightmare putting gloves on.
Right. He's probably got to wear mittens.
Yeah.
Just wears mittens. Well, at least you have a famous person's kind of, you know. You could say, well, you know, I have the same thing Bill Nighy has. And then everybody's like, ooh, Bill Nighy. And then you can say.
They'll be like, Bill Nighy the science guy?
Oh, it's the guy from, the guy from Shaun of the Dead. He's in other movies too. Yeah. You know, it's, you know.
You'd probably know
him. You got to explain who he is. It couldn't be like a famous person that everybody knows. Like George Clooney.
Yeah. George Clooney's 90s haircut.
Facts of Life's own George Clooney. You know,
Roseanne's own GC.
God bless. Oh, by the way, Chuck, I wanted to tell you this week's episode is about the movie from 1953, Invaders from Mars.
Oh, thank you for letting me know.
We didn't talk about that yet. What else did you do this weekend other than get diagnosed?
What did I do?
Anything? You watched?
Well, a couple things. I did watch some movies. I did watch a couple movies. I found my keys. I didn't talk about my keys on the show, did I?
You did not.
This is a
what a,
that was a Discord only. Can I just say it? You can cut it out. I just want to talk about it. This is the highlight of my year. This is the biggest thing to happen to me. So the last snowstorm we had, I don't know when that was, like, I don't know, a week or two ago. It was a big whole thing. Oh, it was exactly a week ago. I remember telling you how yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was a busy day. Lots of snow blowing. We couldn't get the car up the hill. I had to walk downtown, blah, 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 all this stuff. Anyway, I lost my keys. Couldn't find them. Didn't lose hope though. And about a week later,
somehow
I kept walking around outside. Snow slowly starting to melt. Cause I had a feeling they were out there in the snow. I just had a feeling. Today enough snow melted that they appeared. It was like, I felt like I was playing Zelda, Dale. Like I used the red candle and melted snow and whatever the Zelda sound is, there's my keys and I could go into the dungeon again. But that my keys were not obliterated. That's too strong of a word, but they were wounded in battle because I certainly did, as I suspected, I sucked them up into my giant snowblower, snow thrower, whatever it is. And they got mangled and shot out the chute.
Yeah. I think you could say obliterated. I mean, much more so than a key should withstand. So in fact, your tile probably would have worked had it not been put through a snowblower.
No, the battery was dead. Because when that was the first thing, I launched the tile app and it said the last known location was in September. So it had been, app needs to tell me that the battery's dead. All right.
Yeah.
That's what it needs to do.
Yeah. I agree. Cause you shouldn't have to pay attention to the tile app until you need the tile app.
What kind of psychopath is opening up the tile app every day? You know?
Right.
Oh, better check on my tiles, battery levels. No. That's the opposite. Anyway. So yeah, there's a little bit of corrosion on some of my keys here, but.
I just can't. Yeah. I can't believe that you stuck it out to the point you just stuck out and you held belief and you found them. I can't believe that you found, I would have already been to the dealership. I would have already had paid $500 for a new set of keys.
I was close.
Because
I was near the dealership this weekend for my doctor's appointment. And I was like, in the car, I was like, oh, going to go to the dealership and have them, tell me how much I have to give them for a key. But I think
I
Googled the price.
Could have been spit anywhere.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean,
it's amazing.
I actually was hopeful that they were in the snow because I was like, if I lost them in the house, like God knows when we're going to uncover, the layers of debris in my house, you know, who knows where they are.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah, so I got them back. My key's it ripped the blade out of the key fob, but I've got some plans to fix it.
Mm-hmm. Gorilla glue.
Gorilla glue.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So you're welcome. I did watch some movies, Dale. I watched Ed Wood's Orgy of the Dead.
Oh my goodness.
I'm still like kind of riding on my Ed Wood obsession. Now, Orgy of the Dead he didn't direct this, but he wrote it. It's based on one of his skin novels. And I think he was on set the whole time. So, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he had a little bit of hand in the direction. Criswell's in it, who's a regular Ed Wood player. And there's a character called Ghoulita, or the Black Ghoul. It was clearly a stand-in for Vampire. I think they went to ask Vampire to be in this, but she was like in the hospital for something. And also she had no respect for Ed Wood and his hijinks, so doubt she would have done it anyway. So they just like dressed up someone else's vampire.
Ghoulita.
Goolita. She did a great job, though. I'm a fan of Goolita now. But this movie, Dale, I mean, this is what, an hour and 10, 20 minutes of ladies dancing mm-hmm. in a graveyard. So like a young couple crashes and they end up in they're driving around and they crash in a cemetery and they end up these ghouls who happen to be a wolfman and a mummy drag them into the cemetery. And there's Criswell, who's like the emperor of the dead, with a sidekick, Goolita, and they're doing their nightly thing that they do every night and making women, beautiful women that are in purgatory, dance for them in the graveyard.
Wow.
And I'll tell you what.
The
whole scene, just, it's like heaven. It's like it's everything I love. Yeah. Like, just the cheap sets, the fake grass, all the colors, the fog machine, just cranking that fog machine, Daryl. Just crank it.
Yeah.
End a scene. How do we end the scene? Oh, I know. We'll just flood it with fog because we don't know what else to do. And
right.
I was taken with this movie. I mean, it's literally like 80% dancing. but all the in between, all the quick little bits of dialogue, it's that Ed Wood magic. It's totally his weird writing. It's this strange way of talking. I was surprised how much I enjoyed it. I had put off watching this movie for many, many years because I was like, is it going to be worth watching even? But I had a blast.
Right.
I couldn't believe it. So,
wow.
Yeah. I highly recommend
it. Sounds like a blast.
Yeah. And I probably wouldn't have appreciated it as much as, I probably couldn't have appreciated it, you know, before
seeing,
doing
if you
this
had
podcast
seen it before
and like,
yeah,
opening up our minds to the seedier side of movies, you know?
Right.
So there's that. What about you, Dale? I got to pass the mic.
Well, Chuck, I mean, so I watched a couple movies this weekend. YouTube's Brian Rummel came over for our monthly-ish movie night that we have. And this week we watched, I think I mentioned previous, I watched John Wick.
Oh.
So this weekend I watched John Wick 2 and John Wick 3 back to back.
Interesting. Oh, I want to hear your take.
And yeah, so I mean, fantastic movies. I like that the John Wick franchise thus far has basically taken the place over like 3 or 4 days of John's life. Like especially number 2, the beginning of number 2, you know, when he gets to Italy, it obviously like he's got that takes time to get going, but it's like a week of John Wick's life in John Wick 1 through 3. But like take any other opinion I have on the franchise at this point and just shove everything off my desk and clear it away, because all in my head I can think about is by John Wick 3,
yeah,
you know, the mythology that they set up with the, you know, this weird,
yeah, the
John Wick, the mythology,
the hotels
is
everywhere and their stupid coins. Yeah, yeah.
It's Harry Potter. It's like I can't get out of my head that it's just a take on Harry Potter, yeah, where all this stuff exists in the real world and is blind, and the real world is blind to it existing, but it's a fantastical way of witchcraft and wizardry to exist with its cheeky, you know, chocolate frogs and its, you know, trains to magical lands.
Yeah.
Like it's so, like, I can't get that opinion out of my head. And I'm not saying the movie's bad, but this is the prevailing opinion of mine now that it's like taken over my life.
No, that makes it even has that thing where like John Wick will like come up against some like arbitrary rule that exists in this, you can't kill someone within a hotel. You know, that's something very Harry Potter. Like there's always, whenever like right, she wrote herself into a corner, she would just like make up some wizard rule, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like that.
That, you know? And that's what it is.
That's a great take. So, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, but that's not to say that I don't love to see the creativity behind the world building and stuff like that. And I had never seen, I saw John Wick once and it was very late and I was pretty out of it at the time. So I don't remember even seeing it. And I'd never seen John Wick 3. So seeing those in 4K was just a treat to see. And I'm excited to see John Wick 4 when that comes out.
Yeah.
So, but that's all I can think about John Wick is the Harry Potter-ness of it.
Yeah, it's a good point. I do you know? That all that Harry Potter, like the more they get into that stuff, the less I enjoy it. But like I liked it in one where it was just like, you got a taste of it with like the hotel and the coins. Like that was like the perfect amount. I can't imagine the amount of work. I mean, all the extras on those DVDs are just like Keanu working out. It's insane. Just like the amount of work he puts in.
Yeah, Keanu like in the gun range and Keanu and Halle Berry at the gun range. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
But fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's really fun. And the fact that at the staying power of this movie and it's, you know, Keanu's just deserves it. Keanu deserves nice things. Obviously, I think we can agree on that. Yeah. So, you know,
seems like a good guy.
That's mostly what I did this weekend. I posted in the Discord that recently I went on this adventure of hooking up an antenna.
Oh yeah.
To try to get some free over the air TV. And I was very excited to, you know, be rid of having to pay for live TV just for sports and stuff like that. So the ultimate test was this weekend was some, you know, NFL championship games were on.
Uh-huh.
And like I had people over, I had some family over to see the game. And I mean, Fox over the air just totally S'd the bed.
Oh.
And it was like having a bad Dish Network signal. It was like a storm outside. That's what it was. Oh. There was no storm, but that's how I was acting like on my TV. And it was just, it ruined the first probably quarter of the game, and then I just had to subscribe to Hulu Live anyway so I could watch the rest of the game and like not stress my family out. And you know, it was like New Year's Eve all over again.
This is very much a situation I would get into. Yeah, this sounds all very familiar to me.
Right, yeah. So, you know,
that sucks.
If it were not like a house full of people, there would have been a less pressure for me to care because the channel was on, it just wasn't very reliably visible.
Yeah.
And it was just pissing them off and it was pissing me off.
It really sucked. I mean, I'm sure there's some conspiracy theories out there about this whole situation. You know, the switch over from analog signals when it works. I mean, I've seen it. It looks fantastic. It's high def over the air. It seems like a miracle. Like it shouldn't happen, but it is. It seems like it's less, even though like antenna wasn't super reliable at times, like especially when there were storms and stuff, like the old analog signals. This seems way more touchier than that. Little I've read about it does seem like a different kind of animal, the way the signal is broadcast. Like I can't.
And it's plus, you know, the TV's been fine up until I put a football game on, and then all of a sudden, you know,
because it's not like it's not like the tubes are clogged. It's just like the over the air signal, right?
I know.
That doesn't make sense.
Exactly. So it's like big Fox, you know, big cable, like throwing up, launching mirrors into space or something. Who knows?
Let's jam those signals, boys. We got to get those Hulu Live numbers up.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Sucks.
It was fun, but I'm still out, you know, however much it costs for a month of Hulu Live now.
Yeah.
But at least I have it through the Super Bowl, I guess, you know.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Are you going to upgrade to an antenna on your roof with a remote control, a motor on it?
I know, right? Is that what they're telling me now? Is that what antennamanpa.com is going to tell me to do to reliably get signal?
God. I mean, imagine if you still had, I always like wish I still had like, you probably couldn't use it, but like the old aerials on my house, you know, I'm sure it used to have a giant antenna on the house at some point. Imagine hooking that up. If you could hook that up to an HD box, that would be awesome.
And the house I grew up in, we had in the backyard, there was a 5-story antenna coming out of the, I should ask my mom about the story behind that thing, because I don't believe it was ever hooked up to our house, but it was back there.
Wow.
And I remember as a kid climbing on it and getting in trouble numerous times. And like you could climb halfway up, and coming down through the middle of the antenna was like a handle. You could get up there and start twisting this handle, and the top of the antenna would move around.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
Like there was, there must have been capability there, but I don't know where the coax, there was no coax that came down all the way. And so I don't know how that worked, but I got to ask my mom about that now that I think about it, because did it come with the, it came with the house, but.
Yeah.
And at one point it got taken down, but who took it down? Did my stepdad take it down with like a welding something? I have no idea.
No, some of those things were so massive. Like it must have been, I bet you people built businesses on that. You know, when antenna TV went out of favor, just like flyering neighborhoods. Hey, we'll take down your antenna for whatever, $200. Mm-hmm. You'll never, haul it away for you.
Haul it away, cut it up, whatever. I mean, it was huge. It was just from the backyard up. It wasn't on my roof. It was just on a concrete pad.
Wow.
And it shot up into the air.
Wow. Were you in a mountainous area? Maybe it was like...
No, I was in a suburban backyard with, you know, like gridded streets and 10 feet between houses. Like it was weird.
Someone wanted to conjure up some channels.
Yeah, whoever lives there now is getting sweet HD over the air.
Probably.
Signal, I'll tell you that much.
Probably. Dale, should we get into Invaders from Mars from 1953?
Sure, William Cameron Menzies would certainly want us to.
He would. Little David McLean, little boy, living the picturesque life with his mom and dad, out in a rural, small town setting. He wakes up at 4 a.m. because he's a nerd. And he's got a telescope in his room. He wants to see some planets or something. And, you know, he sees that cool stuff. But then, get this, flying saucer. He sees a flying saucer come down from the sky and land in the sand pit he lives near. Sand pits. I gotta read up on sand. I should have read up on sand pits, because this was the most unbelievable thing to me. In this movie with it, living near these giant sand pits, right?
Yeah.
And so we got a flying saucer, goes in the sand pits, hides, but then starts harvesting people who walk over the top of the sands and turning them into robots that do these alien beings' bidding. They're making little automatons out of mom and dad and sending him out in the world to do bad stuff. And it's kind of up to little David to wrangle up the troops, you know? Like, hey, U.S. military, there's something not right going on in my sand pit in the backyard here. So let's get on this. Thank God. You hear that? Oh,
that wasn't your chair?
No, it was like... I wonder if it was wind or something.
Oh.
But anyway, so things get in motion, and there's a lot of military action, Dale, against these aliens.
Yeah.
Mars. They're from Mars.
They're from Mars. Yeah. Everybody knows that. Yeah. The astronomers know that immediately.
Very quick.
I tell you what, if I'm these Martians, you know, I pick these sand pits because nobody ever goes back there.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, as soon as they park their GD spaceship, everybody in town is tramping through these sand pits.
The amount of people walking over these sand pits and doing these falls where they throw up their hands and they get sucked down.
Yeah. It's like they're going on a water slide.
Looks fun, frankly.
It's crazy. It was. I got to give it to this movie. This movie's like an hour and 17 minutes long.
Yeah.
The ramp up this movie goes on, and even like from the first 3 minutes up to the first 15 or 20 minutes is just a constant ramp up. It hits the ground running, and this is sets a new record for hitting the ground and running.
Yeah. I did appreciate like the first like 20, 30 minute. Cause it's like, we're getting into it.
Yeah.
Everything's getting exciting. Dad's an automaton already.
Everything. Yeah. Yeah.
Dad hits his son in the face. Most shocking scene in the movie.
Oh my God.
Woo.
I could not believe
wow.
that backhand. I mean, he really that kid got hit.
Yeah. And the movie threw me for a loop because I was the whole time dad was talking mean to his wife. I was like, oh God, he's going to hit his wife, isn't he? This is 1953. We're going to see him hit his wife. No, the wife gets out of the room. Yeah. He socks that kid right in the head. My God.
Man.
Woo.
Like the only comeuppance is luckily. In a move that I would have never suspected, this kid becomes the crux and starts to get believed pretty early on.
I know.
Goodness for the faith in this doctor that comes to visit him in jail.
Oh yeah. They put the kid in jail, Dale. Couldn't like it went by me when the police chief or whoever says, oh, lock him up. Like I was like, oh, I misheard that. They're not locking this little kid up right in the jail. And then they cut.
Right. You misheard it.
To little David McLean, whatever his name, sitting in jail. Oh my God.
Yeah. Like, how old is this kid? 10? He's got to be 10.
Yeah. If that.
What are you thinking when you get put in jail by a police officer? Like, your guts.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just like puking in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Never had a feeling like this ever before. Your whole world is crashing down. Like, this is too much authority.
Right. Jail is for
putting its heel on you.
Jail is for bad people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Jail is for the worst of the worst.
And then it's like, they double it when the nice doctor lady comes to visit him and she believes what he says and stuff. But then when she's leaving, she locks him back in the jail cell. And he's like,
oh my God,
you don't have to lock it. I won't leave. She's like, well, rules are rules. And I was like, oh my God.
Jeez. Oh my God. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. And she's just like killing him with a smile.
I kind of gotta follow the rules.
Rules,
sorry.
Yeah,
I know
the whole front desk to that. I mean, that police precinct was a room with white walls and white floor. What was going on?
Did they use architectural plans for like a police precinct in New York City? Because this was a big hallway, big grand plans for a town that didn't grow as much as they expected it to. Yeah.
My goodness. And everything, I mean, the sets were decent. They were cheap, you know, obviously they were cheap.
I loved the set, the backyard set of the overlooking you go up the trail up the hill into the sand pits.
Oh my gosh.
Loved that.
Yeah.
I mean, they used it a billion times, but I loved looking at it.
Uh-huh.
Because he could tell it was like...
They've used it so much. Yeah. I was like, where's the mat?
Yeah.
Where's like the fake? But there's like some third dimensions. And at a certain point, there's probably 10 people on set, you know, various soldiers, cops and things. When those two cops are first investigating the missing husband and... that one cop just can't wait to get coffee.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Like the way they dismiss this wife. I like how the wife said, the wife talking about her husband who went missing is like, he's a defensive engineer. He's not a comic book.
Oh yeah.
Like, I love that line.
Yeah. They're like, oh, what did they say? They were like, has your husband ever wandered off before? And she's like, no. And like, he's like, well, yeah, but you know how these scientists are.
What was that?
I know.
Right. Like, that is a comic book. That's a comic book trope right there. So I love that she leaned into it. She's like, it's not a comic book. What are you talking about?
What was the implication was he making there, though? Like, you know how these scientists, like, what? Like what?
Yeah.
That scientists cheat on their wives?
Head in a jar?
Yeah. Like,
I don't know. Right. Or, right.
What was he saying? I didn't get it.
So right.
Funny.
They're all wild and crazy.
But those cops, they suck them right up.
Oh my God. Those idiots. Biggest idiots. Yeah. Go get that coffee.
God. Whatever happened? Did they get out? I can't remember. Did they get out at the end? Yeah, they did. They must have got out.
Oh, I think at the found. End of the movie?
Yeah, I think they were found.
I guess they all got the successful operation to become normal again.
Oh, that's right.
Like they like who knows what they're operating on? Who knows?
I know.
What's happening to these people?
I know. Yeah, I know.
Luckily, this little kid happens to take a glance at the back of everyone's neck.
Yeah. See the little X
like,
there.
I've never seen the backs of necks more than this kid has. And I've lived 42 years on this planet. I've never seen so many backs of necks than until this movie. This kid's just happens to see every back of the neck of every person.
It really was like that. I mean, so there would be like a little black X on people, and that's where this little like Martian antenna was surgically implanted in them to control them. But there was, I mean, that's a very like satanic thing, you know, that's like, oh, the mark of the beast, you know, like it's like the little kid, like,
yeah.
Oh no, my parents have been taken over by the evil Satan, you know, kind of interesting. How about, one of my favorite scenes was the little girl who like lived down the street got possessed by the aliens and she burnt her own house down.
Yeah.
And I guess had like I guess the little antenna killed her off. We didn't see it happen off screen, but she ate it, I guess.
I missed that part. Oh my God.
Well, that's
God.
When they got the antenna. Cause they, Pat, the doctor, went and did an autopsy and found it on inside of her head.
Oh my God. Girl. That smile.
Oh, best
that she
shot
gives.
In the movie. I'm sorry. All the effects were great, but that smile.
Yeah.
And her mom's like, did you do this? No, mama.
Right.
Mom looks away and she smiles. Oh my God. Like right in our faces.
I know. Right.
No, mama.
Sick. Did you burn this house down? Did you start this fire specifically where the gas cans were being stored in the basement?
I loved when that guy had the hose in the basement trying to put out the fire. And he's like, no, there's no way to put out this fire. That's gasoline down there. Is that a thing, Dale?
Is the thing, there's no way to put out a fire?
Yeah, do you just give up using water on a fire if it's gasoline that's burning? Like this guy was just like, no, there's no way. No, I'm
yeah.
Sorry, lady, your house is done for. It's gasoline down there.
I mean, yeah, it's possible.
Maybe it is. Maybe it's really hard to put out a gasoline fire.
You might just spray the gasoline around and the gasoline's going to burn regardless. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. But he certainly did give up though.
He gave up as super quick. Super quick.
He's like, maybe you should call the fire department. This is the one instance that we should maybe call the fire department and not try to handle it ourselves. Even though the fire department exists specifically for house fires. Yeah.
This is their forte.
Yeah. I loved it. It's the whole plot of the Martians taking over these people.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we should say it's very much, this is like, I mean, I don't, it's probably not the first time it's been done in a story or a book or whatever, but it's like the pod people or, you know, body snatchers. Like it's just the idea of a alien race taking over human bodies and making them do their bidding.
Mm. Yeah.
It was great.
And the whole like ethereal music, it was
oh yeah.
Very like theremin. It was like theremin music instead of dramatically orchestral.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And I was here for it.
Yeah. A lot of stock footage. I assume this is stock footage, Dale, of these military operations.
Oh yes.
Like was this,
yes, I'm glad. Yes,
was this I forget what you call it, the like African theater of World War II, of tanks in the desert. Like, was that the footage we were watching? Possibly.
That's literally what it had to have been, because it was such on a large scale. Yeah. That I was like, there's no way they're doing this in 53 just for this movie. I don't think they're doing it in 53 for militarily.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think there had to have been like a theater of war happening.
Yeah, and then the one shot you saw, like, I think it was the ocean, like it was the desert straight into mm-hmm. an ocean. I was like, this kind of looks like, you know.
Yeah.
So, and they theater. Used, you know, I mean, there's, we'll talk about it. There's padding in this movie, and the military stock footage was, they used a lot of it because I think they were. Mm-hmm. They were, I just read they were trying to get this movie out before War of the Worlds adaptation was coming out the same year, and they wanted to beat it.
Yeah.
So yeah, they were padding this sucker with lots of military tank footage, tons of it.
Yeah, it was like an hour and 2 minute movie, if not for the
yeah
tank padding.
Yeah.
I like how, you know, like if you're the general and you're on screen, you like look over to your left and you'd be like, oh, there are the tanks over there.
Yeah.
Insert footage of a field so full awesome. Of tanks. Yeah. That yeah.
That was the best. The tanks in the field, like speeding up to a tree line, then stopping in the tree line like they're hiding. I mean, I guess that's what they do. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's so many shots of that happening. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Get it. Like, yeah.
Love it. And all because this little kid's like, oh, there's something out there. And
I know
everybody's like, let's load up the tanks. Let's load up the army and get them over here. We're going to need some firepower. Okay.
The other thing that's really entertaining about this movie is how fastly the scientists and military people figure out what's happening with almost no evidence. Like, I think the best is when like the colonel and the other guy and David are on the roof of their house looking at the sand pits, and they're like, well, okay, say a flying saucer did come down here, how would it move around underground? And the one guy's like, well, if they mastered some sort of ray technology, oh, like X-rays or like infrared rays? Yeah, maybe that. And they just like, from there, that was the gospel. They figured it out. And they were going on the assumption that they had some sort of ray gun shooting out tunnels underneath the ground. And that's how they were moving around. And they were, I mean, they were right, but they had no,
they absolutely,
it was based
yeah.
on nothing. Like,
and the Martians, just cue the Martians, like terraforming the shit out of the underground. They're just making their own tunnels where they need it. There's several reused shots of,
oh my God,
the walls just turning into like liquefied, and then it explodes. Yeah. And then there's a tunnel there.
Was there, I mean, we were not alive then, but were infrared rays, were that must have been like the buzzword, like around this for science. Because, I mean, I don't know much about like infrared, but you couldn't
right.
blast through Earth, right? With infrared rays? You can't do that, right?
Yeah,
that's not a thing.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so. No.
And we would probably be doing it now, right? For like mining and stuff, but.
Right.
I don't know. But man, those infrared cannons they had.
But to the layman's, you know, that sounds like something that'd be very possible.
Yeah, it sounds cool.
Those hallways, the effects of the hallways being bubbled up, and then
yeah.
it would cut to like the kind of the liquefaction happening.
Yeah. That was cool.
Was a pretty cool effect.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like,
did you read?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Did you read, you know, the bubbles on the wall? They were like, they look like balloons on the wall behind the Martians before they got liquefied. There are actually thousands of condoms blown up.
Whoa.
Because the balloons looked too much like balloons on film. So they needed like something with a more earthy tones, I guess, and balloons just weren't doing it. So they blew up condoms and pinned them to the wall.
The old timey rubber condoms were like an amber color, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and we do, they make us earn it. There's a lot of, you know, it's almost like a Godzilla movie, the sort of middle stretch where it's a lot of like scientists and military people talking and running around, you know, picking up clues and stuff.
Yeah.
But they finally get, you know, they manage to bomb a hole in the sand pit and get down there. And we see some of these Martians and they're like big green, they keep calling them apes, which was killing me. I'm like, oh, here coming another few of those apes. Watch out. Loved it. I love the vocab. I mean, that's what the average 1950s private's going to call them apes, you know? What else are you going to call them?
Yeah. Right.
The one guy was big, though. He looked like the guy like Joey Ramone's dad in that Martian suit. He was big.
Oh, that one guy was huge. And I remember specifically because he picks up the female doctor.
Yeah.
So I was like, they needed to get somebody huge in there just to be able to pick up a human like that and carry her like a baby. They needed somebody with some stock to him.
Yeah.
And he had the biggest, he had the biggest zipper on the back of his costume.
Yeah, they looked like, kind of looked like the Grinch, you know, like a live action Grinch suit, you know?
Yeah. It was like this cushy velour material.
Yeah. Yeah, they were
hot
like
as hell in there. I'm
giant
sure.
Muppets, kind of. But how about that? The main alien, or like the alien in a globe that was like the peak of human consciousness, or whatever they said it was.
Yeah. What a dolt!
Big like silver guy with a giant head and some octopus tentacles sticking out inside of a fishbowl. It was a super great visual and just like his eyes like looking around. It was creepy.
Yeah. It was super creepy.
Yeah.
I wish they could have, for as many conclusions as were jumped to by the scientists and stuff, I wish they could have elaborated on what the purpose of this peak of human consciousness was.
Yeah. Well, I think even before they saw them, they did kind of explain it that the Martians feel threatened by us because we've started shooting rockets into space. So they're going to nip us in the bud. And I guess they were going to take over our world. That's what I assume. Cause they were like, well, you can't survive on the surface of Mars. It's too cold. So they must be living underground. So that was the other thing. They assumed that they were also humans. And that they were like mimicking human. They learned how to, I don't know. It was confusing. I'm already getting confused about the explanation, but yeah, I don't know.
But that was all through, you know, dialogue. So it was tough to follow at times.
All
too, because there was just so much exposition. There was no visual to go along with it.
Yeah. At the Griffith Observatory, I assume that's where they shot all that. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know I already said my favorite scene. Maybe my favorite scene now is, so, you know, the little girl who died, okay, she brain hemorrhage or whatever after she burnt down her house being possessed by aliens. And I think her mother died. Did her mom die? Maybe not. It doesn't matter.
I think so.
Anyway. So we cut to a science lab because the little girl's dad is a scientist who happens to be working on some of the technology that the aliens are trying to destroy. And he's in a room that no science lab I've ever seen. Too big, giant hallways.
Right.
He's just working with like three beakers, this giant room. We see this guy who's like a football field away come in the door. He's like, hey, You know, I know you had a rough day because your daughter had a massive brain hemorrhage and died.
Oh my God.
And you're here working, like, can I get you anything? You sure you should be working? And the guy's just like stone cold. No, I always work at night, you know. I can't dwell on it. I'll just keep going. I was like, holy crap.
Dead. Guy was dead to the world.
Like, he was so dead to the world. I was like, oh, he must. I thought he was already zombified by the aliens. So I was like surprised when he wasn't. I was like, oh my God.
Right.
This guy.
Yeah. Oh my God, he's just numb and working.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's, yeah.
Wow.
Kind of an interesting, I wouldn't expect them to make that choice, but they went for it. I respect them.
Wow. Yeah, they certainly do. Yeah. Mm. By the end though, you know, this was like a scout ship and the mothership was off surface, like in yeah. low ozone, but it was out there. So they needed to, you know, take action and blow the hell out of this thing before any more landed, or they could coordinate like the landing of the mothership or coordinate transportation or something. So, I mean, ultimately what you got to do anyway. So, which is like set mines and blow up this structure and evaporate any existence of it on your planet. Cause otherwise they're going to take it from you anyway.
And when you throw those grenades, you got to hit them right in the puss, right?
You got to hit them right in the puss with the grenades if you want to stop them, Major.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, that's the standout line. Like, yes. When I look this movie up on Letterboxd, like every other review, are people just writing that line out? You got to hit them right in the puss, Colonel. Something like that. Or Major.
Right.
And they're talking about throwing grenades at the aliens. So amazing.
The best. The best.
Yeah. I did love how, like, man, dynamite and grenades can really just wreak havoc on this flying saucer.
Seriously.
God. And I put this in my review. I just wanted David. I wanted David to dropkick that globe alien. Like, it was just a globe sitting on a table. Like, just kick it over. And you're done.
The globe had no powers, mind powers.
Yeah, no mind powers. Anything. You just tip that sucker over. You get a kitty cat in there. A kitty cat would have knocked that over.
Which is exactly what you think it would have.
Yeah.
Because it's worthless otherwise.
Yeah. Big brain dummy.
Some big brain moves.
Yeah. That should, I'm surprised it's not a meme, a big brain meme, that picture of that alien. Yeah, we get a little bit more padding. You know, they're successful. They blow up the alien ship. But as David's running away from the explosion, he flashbacks and we get basically the whole movie repeated to us in his, in like a montage in little David's mind, including dad hitting him again. So we get that sweet smack.
Yeah, the sweet, sweet. Child abuse.
Yeah.
But there isn't any barbed wire.
I called on barbed wire.
And then the movie ends with the fucking David wakes up and it was all a dream. But then he looks out his window and a flying saucer lands. No. I didn't like that.
Left a bad taste.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you read about the British cut of this?
I did, yeah. And I wonder if anybody gets to watch it over there, if Dirk watches it or anybody else, and to see if that's the, like, do we all have access to the same version now because it's, you know, so many years later, or is that still like the only version you can watch over there? I'm curious about that, but it sounded like it had a little bit more of a concrete ending and a little bit happier ending, and it wasn't just like this, was it or wasn't it a recurring nightmare or a dream?
Yeah. And I think they even added a shot of the flying saucer being blown up. Like, it takes off at the end and then it blows up. That's one huge thing that was missing from this is like, why? Like, I don't know. It's weird that we're still watching this version. Like, I'd much rather watch this other one I read about.
Especially you're showing the saucer land. So
Yeah.
You know.
You want to see the thing blow up. That's you just don't see it because it's underground. It's not satisfying.
Yeah, it's underground. Cheap.
Yeah. So she yeah. Anyone in England, does your Tubi have a different version?
I know, right? Is that what it comes down to?
It's probably on this new $55 4K disc, though. Ooh. Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, that link is in our Discord if you want to feast your eyes on a $55 4K.
Yeah.
Man alive.
I bet it looks great. I mean, I could tell it's a beautiful movie, like even the garbage copy mm-hmm. we were watching. Like, I was like, man, I bet that 4K really brings this sucker to life. Can you open up our mailbag? Stick your hand as far as it goes. Scratch the bottom of the bag and scare us up some correspondence. If we have any, I don't even know. I think we do.
That's we in fact we do. They sent their correspondences to batandspiderpod@gmail.com. We also have our official Bat and Spider hotline, and the hotline is open 24 hours a day if you want to call and leave thoughts. You know,
yeah, put us on your favorites opinions. Page and your contacts app. No?
Yeah. That way, you know, we can get through. If you put through your phone on Do Not Disturb or something, we could still get through if we needed to call you or something like that.
Put us right before grandma. So when you're like, oh, I should call grandma, and you see us, and you're like, oh, I should call Bat and Spider actually.
Right. Yeah. Less stress.
Yeah.
Email from friend of the show, Brandon Ulrich, who is knuckle deep into a Arnold Schwarzenegger total movie marathon. He is going through Arnold's entire filmography and to see this, to witness this is a feat to behold.
I love it.
He's documented all in Letterboxd and it's amazing.
I love a good marathon like that. I tried it with Van Damme and I didn't make it, but it is fun. It is fun.
Mm-hmm. His email, Invaders from Mars. Hey, how about that guy that didn't know how to pronounce the word mutant?
Oh my God.
Kept saying mutant. Mutant.
I think everyone
word is
in the
ruined
movie.
For me now.
I think everyone in the movie pronounced it like that. This must have been a new word at the time.
It must have been a new word for the time. Yeah.
Mutant.
The word is ruined for me now every time I'm going to hear mutant. What the hell was that? Thank you for your candor on this important matter. Mutant.
Dale, my favorite cartoon is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
You nailed it.
Mutant. It makes you think of like an ant, like there were ants or something.
So that was it this week, Chuck. Like I said, email us, you know. We did announce episode 150's movie. That's going to be Ed Wood. But this time it's time to announce the movie for episode 143, which is next week's episode.
Whose turn is it? It's your turn.
Shite.
You get to pick.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Poop, right?
Did you didn't come prepared, I assume.
I did.
Oh, you did? Oh, good.
What about what? You know, there's a lot of stress on whether, you know, like I'm always thinking about, do I need to do something different? Do I need to get break out? But anyway, besides all that, Chuck, there is a movie I found via Cynthia Rothrock's Instagram page.
Oh, okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. It's from 1988.
Oh God, I'm so excited.
And this movie, on Letterboxd, I found the movie title via another thing, but on Letterboxd it comes up as The Inspector Wears Skirts.
Skirts? Plural?
Skirts, plural.
The film revolves around a crack squad of female police officers who have to deal with harassment and lack of respect from their male colleagues, personal issues, as well as some serious criminals. Not the best description, I imagine, but...
I agree. Cynthia Rothrock's Instagram post was a lot cooler.
Yeah,
looking.
So it's about a. Let's check. What does IMDb say? Madame Wu has been assigned to the Hong Kong Police Academy to train female Banshee Squad members next door to the male Tiger Squad members led by Inspector Khan. After internal conflicts and courting mishaps, the squad members were ordered to band together to round up a gang of thieves at a convention. This is, I mean, it's not going anywhere I expected to. I'm excited, Dale. And Cynthia Rothrock mm-hmm. is indeed in the cast.
Right. So how could you go wrong?
Yeah. We're going to get Rothrocked.
Of course, our garbage North Star herself, Anna Gould, already on her watch list. So.
Oh, yeah.
If she hasn't seen it yet, we could be in for a treat. She might want to. She might watch it for us.
Yeah. Best case scenario.
Yeah, exactly.
Available on Prime, the Roku channel, and you gotta get the drops back. You get a Tubi drop, you know?
Yeah. You're right.
No, I'm not right.
If Tubi could just send us something, it'd be even better.
They need some sort of Tubi call sign. Like they need to, like, you know, Netflix has their dong thing that when you fire that app, Tubi needs something like that. And it should be right. One of us going Tubi, right?
Right. If they don't have anything, they do now.
Yeah.
Or if they could.
And the audio's out there now. They just have to.
Chuck, the way you and I collaborate, you know, like we could come up with something.
Yeah. Let's manifest it.
We could rent out studio space.
What?
You know, we could rent out studio space
okay.
for that time. You know, be behind the board, have an engineer with us. God, I'm excited.
One more take. One more time.
Right.
Try it with a little sadness.
Try it with a little more repeated chain emails for kung fu and titties. Like say it, like say the call sign, like you keep getting this email in your inbox twice
a day. Tubi. Inspector Wears Skirts, Dale. Fantastic pick. I already love the movie. So
I hope so. I hope we love the movie.
So follow along at home. If you don't, you won't have any fun this week. So I don't know what to tell you.
I know. So dude, put your best foot forward and just move ahead.
Show up.
Push ahead.
Yeah.
Just show up, please.
It's half the battle, right? Showing up.
Until next week, folks, check out batandspider.com and join our Discord because it's fun and we love the engagement and we love new people and we're not intimidating and we're not creepy in any way. Join our Ko-fi, ko-fi.com. And listen to some exclusive episodes in there. It's pretty fun. And you get exclusive access to private channels in the Discord and private live streams. You know, if I ever get the money together for a gaming PC, I'd like to stream to that channel.
Oh,
who
yeah.
Who knows? Pie in the sky.
Yeah. Future's wide open.
The future's wide open. The far, far distant future. You know, but it'll be fun. But it's an investment. It's an investment in the future.
Yeah.
You subscribe now.
It's really an investment in yourself, if you think about it.
You nailed it.
Thank you.
You nailed it, Chuck. And until next week, this is Bat and Spider. We love you.
This is David McLean saying, hit him in the puss, Dale.
Did you see the David McLean?
Uh-huh. Who's still, the is boy he still child. Alive? Or is that crazy? Did I read that? Still around? Sorry.
He might be still around.
Oh, we didn't even bring up the...
But he's in the...
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
But he's in the Tobe Hooper remake of this movie, Invaders from Mars.
This is what...
1986.
I can't believe we didn't talk about this. This was on my list.
Because we're Tobe Hooper boys.
Yeah.
We're Tobe boys.
Tobe Hooper remade this. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
It's got a heck of a cast, too. I remember...
Technical advisor Slim gave it 2 stars.
Well, might
but
be.
He said it. He said it. It scared the crap out of him when he was a kid.
Oh wow!
I have no recollection of this movie. But.
I know it's one of those again. Some movies just like it's like they never existed, and you're like, really? This was a movie?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of love that. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. I mean, just this image of Karen Black screaming. Yes, please.
Yeah.
Bud Cort's in it. Lorraine Newman. All right, Dale. Yeah.
All right, Chuck.
Let's go.
Love you, buddy.
Love you. Good night.
Ciao.
Our theme song was created by Toby Forsman of Whipsong Music. Find out more at whipsongmusic.com.
This is a Tape Deck Podcast.